I'm going to start by reading another text in Scripture, Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I don't know if everybody's the same as I am. Many people they come to church and they respond more to the emotional side, and I'm not one of them. Not that emotional. You can probably see it when my kids took picture when I was in a roller coaster. No change of expression. When I think of the Bible, when I study the Bible, I look at it differently, and you may never hear a sermon like this again in the rest of your life. So listen to this one. What are the odds that God does not exist? A lot of people have these thoughts. Have you ever had thoughts like that? What are the odds that God doesn't exist? What are the odds that the Bible is an invention of deluded, gullible, credulous, fanatically religious men? What are the odds that Jesus was not who He claimed to be? My wife has a sister, and her son said, "Yeah, my mother is a Christian. She's a Christian. But she doesn't believe that Christ is divine or who He said He was or that He's the Son of God or anything like that. But she's a Christian." How many of those do we have in the United States today? What are the odds that there's no creator? You can send your kids to school, they learn all about evolution. And everything that they learned as a child, all those basic principles about the existence of God, go out the window. So what is the chance that there is no creator? What are the odds that Christ will not return as He said He would? You ever think about that? So today, we're going to look at the odds. Some people are not mathematically minded, but I think you'll catch the picture still. We're going to talk about the mathematical probability that Christ will return. Does that make sense? You look at me, what? We think about odds when we're traveling, some people think about odds when they're gambling. Now you got 50-50 chance, that's pretty good odds, right? 50-50, pretty good odds. We got in the United States, people spend $80 billion a year on the lottery. The odds of winning are what?
5%.
Yeah. You got one chance in 18 million. But they say, hey, it's a very low investment and the payoff is really good. So they go for it. They spend $80 billion a year. Even a criminal, even somebody breaking into your house is going to say, okay, what are the odds that I'm going to get caught? And after I get caught, what's the penalty? They weigh it out. Most people who break the law weigh this thing out. What are the odds? You change either one of those things and you decrease crime. You change the odds because you have more police protection, or the penalty is extremely great, and they'll say, it's not worth the risk. Odds are not in my favor. What are the odds that the world evolved? You ever think about that? What are the odds that the world evolved? Definitely, I believe in creation. But I went to public school growing up. My wife went all the way through college in public school. And I'll tell you something off the subject. I heard a couple of pastors one day saying, we don't believe in Christian education. Our students should not go to Christian schools. And I stood up and said, I didn't get to go to Christian school all the way through, and my wife didn't go, and we really appreciate Christian education because we've been on the other side. But what are the odds of this education of evolution being true? There were a couple of men who I read a book on. These two men, Marcel Goulet and Frank Salisbury, wrote separate articles in scientific magazines. They were beginning to question evolution. And they say even the simplest replicating protein molecule that could be imagined has been shown by Goulet to have a probability of 1 × 10⁵ power. Somebody has said, and I read an article, you know, there are 21 amino acids, right? And they said, what is the chance that these 21 amino acids making a different combination once a second could come up with a simple protein that would reproduce itself? And man, there are millions of proteins in a single cell. But what is the chance of coming up with one single protein that could reproduce itself? And they said, well, mathematically, it would take 200 billion years. Which evolutionists say, well, that's how long life has been developing in this world. Some of them say 2 billion years. They say 2 billion years. And these guys said, you know, in 2 billion years, you wouldn't even get a simple protein. The chances aren't great that we would have human beings and animals and plants. It just couldn't happen. Not in the time that you say this world has been here. So Salisbury calculates that the probability of a typical DNA chain to be 1 × 10⁶ power. I don't know if you comprehend how big a number that is. But there aren't that many atoms in the universe. What is the chance? What are the odds that Jesus was not the Messiah? Well, there was an attorney, Rod Stoner, and he was an agnostic before 2007. Total agnostic. He says, well, I don't know if there's a God or not. You know, when he shows up, I'll know. That's what a lot of people think. God shows up, then I'll know there's a God. And he wrote a book. After doing some research, he decided he would look into some of these prophecies in the Bible. And he says, I'm just going to take 8 prophecies. Now, he did some calculating here also, mathematical probabilities. Now, before I get into this, let me read a foreword in the book by the Secretary-Treasurer of the American Scientific Affiliation. Okay? He's the Secretary of the American Scientific Affiliation. He writes the following. The manuscript, Science Speaks, has been carefully reviewed by a committee of the American Scientific Affiliation members and Executive Council, and has been found in general to be dependable and accurate in regard to the scientific material presented. The mathematical analysis included is based upon principles of probability which are thoroughly sound, and Professor Stoner has applied these principles in a proper and convincing way. These are scientists. So he went into a study as to what's the probability that Jesus was not a Messiah to the world. He was not the Messiah. He was not who he claimed to be. So he went to Micah chapter 5, verse 2, and it says that Jesus would be born where? Bethlehem. Well, Jesus didn't live in Bethlehem. He lived 3 days north. Bethlehem's, you know where Bethlehem is? It's on the outskirts of Jerusalem, on the south side of Jerusalem. So, what's the probability that Jesus would be born in this town? And he came up with 1 in 2,800, because there are that many villages in Israel that he could have been born in. Then he says, Malachi 3:1, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." How many men who have been born in Bethlehem have had a forerunner sent by God to prepare his way? He says, well, the chances of that are 1 in 1,000. Then he goes to the next one where he talks about, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Well, one man in how many who has entered Jerusalem as a ruler has entered riding on a colt, the foal of a donkey? You could say 1 in 100. And one shall say to him, as he went to the next prophecy, one shall say unto him, "What are these wounds in thy hands?" Then he shall answer, "Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." Zechariah 13. One man and how many over all the world has been betrayed by a friend and as a result suffered wounds in his hands? 1 in 1,000. I doubt if it's even that. And I said to them, in the next one, Zechariah 11, "Who was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver?" You know, it says that 30 pieces of silver would be thrown down in the house of the Lord, and they would buy a potter's field. Of course, Matthew got a little mixed up on that one. I hope you understand that the Bible was not inspired every single word by the Holy Spirit, but the thoughts were inspired, and the writers were human. But Matthew got a little mixed up as to where that was found. He thought it was Jeremiah, and it's really in Zechariah. But what's the chance? 1 in 1,000 there? And the Lord said to me, "Cast it into the potter," these 30 pieces of silver. You know, and then they're going out and buying a potter's field with this. 1 in 100,000. Or 10 to the fifth power. There's another one. He goes to another prophecy that says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth." You'll find this in Isaiah. "He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." What are the odds that the innocent man who has been betrayed, oppressed, and afflicted and is on trial for his life will not offer a single word in his own defense? 1 in 1,000, maybe? And then he goes to the last one. "For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet." You know, when David wrote these words about Jesus' death on the crucifixion, he didn't invent them. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit. The question is, one man in how many from the time of King David on has been crucified? 1 in 10,000? Well, he looked at all these prophecies, and he just took some very simple prophecies, just 8 of them. There are probably 60, and some say there are 300 to 550 messianic prophecies. But I know of 60 main prophecies, and what if he had taken all 300 messianic prophecies? But on these 8, he said that for all these 8 prophecies to be fulfilled, it would be 1 in 2.8 times 10 to the 28th power. That doesn't ring a bell, maybe. There's 10 to the 18th power is the number of grains of sand in the earth, they figure. And so this, you'd have to multiply by 1,000, multiply it again. You take the number of grains of sand in the earth, the entire earth, multiply them by 1,000, multiply them by 1,000, multiply that by 1,000, and multiply that by 10. And then you finally come to this number, 10 to the 28th. And then you multiply that by 2.8. The numbers are so big. Can you imagine a number with 28 zeros? That's your chances, just 8 of these prophecies being fulfilled. What if you consider Daniel's prophecy about when Jesus would be crucified? Did you ever think about that one? You've probably thought about that. You remember in Daniel 9:27, he says, in the midst of the week, the Messiah would be cut off. You know, the sacrifices and the oblation would cease. The beginning of the week is when he was baptized in 27 AD, in the fall of the year. You can do the math. From the time the decree went forth to rebuild Jerusalem till the Messiah, the Prince, it comes out to the fall of 27 AD. And then it says, in the midst of the week, he would be cut off. You know when that is? That's in the spring. Passover time. He was the Passover lamb. Right? That Passover lamb represented Jesus. The Passover lamb was sacrificed at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. When did Jesus die? 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Ellen White says in the Great Controversy, in the Desire of Ages, that the priest in the temple was taking the knife to slay the lamb, and as he raised the knife, the curtain split, and Jesus at that moment died on the cross. So what are the chances that somebody would die the type of death predicted in the Bible at precisely 3 o'clock in the afternoon on that day? And he also fulfilled all these other prophecies. Well, it's near impossible. It's nearly impossible. You know, people talk about evolution taking place. It's not impossible that things evolved from nothing. Not impossible, but it's so close to impossible that I'm not going to believe it. Have you ever even thought about the creation and the planets? There are 200 billion stars in this galaxy. 2 billion stars in this galaxy. 2 billion stars in this galaxy, and there are 200 billion galaxies. And these galaxies are all organized. Do you notice how they're all like a wheel? Different colors, but they're all kind of arranged like a wheel, flat. And then within the galaxies, you have all these suns, and the suns have planets, and the planets have moons, and they're all orbiting. Do you realize how difficult it is to put something in orbit? You have to have two bodies. The mass has to be right for the distance. You have to be traveling exactly at the right speed, and it has to enter at the right angle. You get too direct, it's going to collide, and not direct enough, it's going to just change its trajectory a little bit and go off into space. Everything has to be perfect. Now you're talking about billions and billions and billions of these things all in an organized fashion, rotating around suns. What is the chance of that? What is the chance? What are the odds? We often consider odds. You're talking about an accident here, near accident with a car. And that is very disconcerting. Your chances of having a fatal accident in a car is 1 in 9,000 every year. And 1 in about 250,000 during your lifetime. But we drive, don't we? There's a chance we could be killed, but we drive. The chance we say, hey, you know, it's remote. It isn't that great. A lot of people are afraid to fly. On a flight, you take one flight anywhere in the world, and your chance of a fatal accident is 1 in 10 million. In the United States, it's a lot better than that. We haven't had a fatal plane crash with scheduled airlines in the last 10 years. And billions of miles have been traveled. But a lot of people are afraid to fly. So I don't like the odds. Well, you're we kind of chuckle. The risk of driving is, I figured it out, it's 1,100 times more dangerous than flying in a commercial airliner. So next time you get on a commercial airliner, consider that the odds are a lot better there. And that's if you're even flying a foreign aircraft or any aircraft. So, you got to ask yourself, what are the odds that Jesus would come back again? So, if all of these prophecies were fulfilled, against all odds, all these prophecies were fulfilled, and Jesus said that he would return again, what are the odds? What's the chance that these prophecies of the second coming will come to pass just like the other prophecies in the Bible that were inspired by the Holy Spirit? Matthew 24, verse 30 and 31 says, "Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of the heaven to the other." Matthew says also, "Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." In Revelation, Jesus said, "Surely I am coming quickly." Quickly for him, maybe. We've been waiting 2,000 years. But what is that when they were waiting 4,000 years for the Messiah? Every day thinking the Messiah is going to appear. It's a short period of time, isn't it? But I think we're close. We're very close. You read in the Spirit of Prophecy, it often talks about 6,000 years of trials on this earth. Well, we must be close. I don't know when 6,000 years will end. But in the year 2027, it'll be 2,000 years since Jesus appeared as the Messiah. In the year 2034, it'll be 2,000 years since the 70-week prophecy ended. Now, how accurate is God? We don't know when the world was created. Maybe he will come back right at 6,000 years. We don't know when that is. Do we know we're close? I think we are. Do we know that it will happen? Yes. What are the odds? If everything else in Scripture was fulfilled to the letter, what are the odds that he will return soon? Pretty high odds. So just looking at this whole thing mathematically, we should have increased faith.